Good morning, guys. If you guys can, just right from the morning, if you guys could say good morning to each other. I feel like we don't do that at morning prayer, so just look around, just say hi to the people next to you, say good morning. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. I'm super excited to share with you guys the word today. So if we could all turn to Numbers 20. It's going to be verses 1 through 13, and when you guys get there, if you guys could look up at me, just so I know you guys are there. So it's, once again, it's Numbers 20, 1 through 13. Let me just start us off with some prayer. Dad, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. I'm just really excited to just share and speak on what's on your heart, God. I pray that we'd all have hearts to hear and ears to listen, God, as it's early in the morning. Help us to stay awake and receive. We thank you so much, Dad. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to read verses 1 through 13. I'm going to read it for us, but if you guys could follow along. And the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord? Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink." Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy." So, as I was on Numbers 20 and really reading, I believe that Numbers 20 is actually one of the saddest chapters in the Old Testament up till now, because right here we see Moses, the man. You know, Moses is the man. He's the most humble man according to the word. He is the leader of the Israelites who brought them out of the land of captivity. He's the guy who split the Red Sea. He's the man. And here we see in Numbers 20, we see Moses come short. We see that the man who led the people of Israel out of captivity, we see him be denied access into the promised land. And that's, I think, one of the saddest things to ever happen. I'm going to give a little context to Numbers 20 so that you get a more clearer picture of what's happening and what the situation is like. When I'm reading the Word of God, I like to put myself in the story and try to see it from a lot of angles. So, right before Numbers 20 and Numbers 14, the people of God rebelled against Moses and Aaron. The scouts were sent out. They surveyed the promised land to see if it was good, to see if they could take it. The scouts came back. Everybody was given a bad report, complaining, "I don't know if we could do it. People are so strong. They're all so tall." Except Caleb and Joshua, who are saying, "We could do it. We could do it." And then they complain against the Lord and say, "You know what? We're going to choose another leader, and we're going to actually go back to Egypt." But the people complain, and then the Lord almost destroys them. But are stopped by Moses and Aaron, who are praying and say, God, don't destroy them. You brought us out of Egypt. We're going to be a joke if you destroy them. So they only get saved through Moses and Aaron. And in Numbers 14 is when God denies everybody who is 20 years and older who has complained, denied access to the promised land. So we see a whole generation, that generation be denied access to the promised land. So from Numbers 14, the only four that are allowed into the promised land from that generation is Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. And here in Numbers 20, we see Moses, and later we also see Aaron deny that access, as we see Aaron actually later pass away in Numbers 20. So that's where we are with Numbers 20. We see, you could just see how sensitive the situation is and the environment is. People are denied the access to the promised land. They already know that. They know that Moses, Joshua, Aaron, and Caleb are the only four from that generation to go into the promised land. So you can only imagine the tension that is going on within the congregation. So as we read in Numbers chapter 20, and the people of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Not only are the people denied access to the promised land, but we also see Miriam dying, or she died, she passed away. So Aaron, I can imagine, is not in the best state. He's not in the best, he's not himself right now. And now, it says in verse 2, now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves against Moses and against Aaron. See, what's funny is that here we see the people of Israel in the waters of Meribah. And this is actually not their first time here. This is not their first time. If you see in Exodus 17, 4-6, so Moses cried to the Lord, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horn, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink of it. So they were actually here before. They were here before when they just crossed the Red Sea. They were at this place where Moses struck the rock and water came out. So they were here in this exact same situation. The first point I want to say is Moses trying to take circumstances in his own hands. You see, our man Moses was here before. He was here in this exact same situation before, where people were complaining for water, and they were disgruntled, and he was in this exact same situation where he had a rock and he had a staff and there was something to do. He knew what to do, basically. He already had the Lord experience and encounter him in this way before. So what did he do? The Lord told Moses, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. Except this time, the Lord has told Moses not to hit the rock, but rather to tell the rock to yield water. But we see Moses strike the rock. As Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. We see here that Moses actually disobeyed the Lord. God said, hey, speak to the rock, yield water. But here Moses chose to strike it. See, Moses was here in this situation before. Moses knew, he's been in this situation before. He allowed what he experienced God prior to dictate how he saw God now. He allowed his previous experience of God to dictate what God is going to do right now. See, God told Moses, speak and water will come out. Instead, Moses chose to hit it because last time it worked. Last time it worked. Last time I hit the rock and it worked. So I want to enact this scene for you guys here today. I can imagine Moses, it actually says that Moses hit the rock twice. So not only once, but he hit it twice. I can imagine Moses coming out, he's got his staff, and he's got the rock, and he says to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And he hits the rock, and it's like silent. Like Moses and Aaron are kind of looking at each other like something should be happening. And then Aaron kind of goes like, "Hey, hit it again." And he hits it twice, and the water comes out, and there's a sigh of relief between Moses and Aaron. Like, whew, it worked, just like last time. Thing is, right in that moment, Moses and Aaron disobeyed the Lord. See, Moses and Aaron didn't forget the words of the Lord. It wasn't like, "Oh, Aaron, what did God say? Do you remember what God said? Did he say to speak to it or to strike it?" It wasn't that situation. They actually chose to stick with what was familiar. Moses and Aaron did not forget the words of the Lord, but rather they chose to stick with what was familiar because it worked last time. Sometimes, rather than listening to the voice of the Lord, we ourselves choose to stick with what we already know. Instead of choosing to hear from God, we go, "Oh, how did God work before?" And we try to make the same situation, the same attitude, the same formula as it was last time when God is calling us to something different. See, our perception of understanding of what is possible is actually founded on the basis of what we already know, what we have already encountered. What we know to be possible, even for what we know for it to be possible with God, is actually founded on the basis of what we have heard from others or what we have experienced ourselves prior. But here, God is challenging Moses. "Moses, speak to the rock and water will come out." Moses has never done this before. But Moses has hit the rock before. "I hit the rock last time and water came out. God, you want me to speak to the rock this time?" And for that, it was a leap of faith even for Moses. See, Moses chose to stick with what was familiar because it worked last time. See, God may bring you to the same situation, but maybe the way he wants to move is different. I think as Christians, as people who believe in God, we cannot box God into the way that he has moved prior. And I'm not saying that the way that he has moved prior can't like really help us to understand how God moves, but we cannot allow that to be the dictating compass in our lives. Okay, God moved like this last time, so we surely must move again like this time. No, I think God is calling us constantly, challenging our faith. After Moses and Aaron hit the rock and waters came out and the congregation was able to drink, what did God say? "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them." See, God counted sticking to what is known versus the unknown as unbelief in what he said. God counted what Moses did as unbelief. He said, "You did not believe in me. You chose to stick with what was familiar instead of believing in what I said." Oftentimes, as Christians, sometimes I feel like we choose what is familiar rather than what is God saying. When we choose what we already know, and it could be kind of put in a Christian terms like, "Oh God, you work like this last time," I actually believe it's unbelief. That we need to start believing that God can do new things. Rather than doing old things, "God, what are you doing now?" And this is not to say that, "Oh man, that's so uncruel, that's so cruel of God. God took out Moses from the promised land when Moses was so faithful." No, this is not to say that. God did not forsake Moses, or not to say that he didn't care about him anymore. This is very much wrong, as we see later in Hebrews 3:5. "Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were spoken later." See, it wasn't God forsaking Moses. So I started to wonder, "God, why did you do this? Why did you do this? Why did you not allow Moses to come into the promised land?" And I believe God's heart was actually broken. God's heart was hurting because what God needed out of the person who's going to lead his people into the promised land, what he needed was actually belief. The one thing that Moses didn't do in this chapter is believe. See, the context of the Israelites not entering even into the promised land, what was it on? It was just on belief. Do you believe me? Do you believe my promises? To believe what I'm going to do. See, that was the only differentiating factor for people to go into the promised land. Caleb and Joshua, they weren't like extraordinary men of God. You know, I think they were, but they weren't people who like prayed 24/7 and preached messages and gave their whole, you know, every part of their paycheck to the Lord. It wasn't that. All they did was believe. All Caleb and Joshua, all they did was believe. See, the main point that I want to make today is God doesn't need anything but merely a heart that believes in him. That was the main context for why Moses and Aaron, why they were disqualified from even entering into the promised land. It's because they didn't believe in what God said. They didn't believe when God said, hey, speak to the rock and water will come out. They chose to stick with what was familiar. Hey, I hit the rock before, so water should come out. That was the only criteria that God needed from his people, that they would believe in him. And that's not just true back then, that's true right now. The basis of our faith, right? The reason why we get to call ourselves Christians, sons of God, is we believe in his son. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus Christ who was all man, all God, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again. The crux of our faith is on belief. And that's not just the inception of our faith. When we first come to salvation, but belief is something that is going to carry us throughout this whole journey with God. It's not just, hey, I believe in you, Jesus, for my sins, but it's as if as we are walking through the wilderness, quote unquote, the wilderness of this life, because, you know, the Exodus, sometimes you could parallel it to our journey here on earth, that we're waiting to enter into the promised land. We're waiting to experience the promises of God. And we encounter these things that discourage us. We encounter these situations that say, hey, this is not going to happen. The promises of God are not going to happen. And God says, in the midst of all that, do you believe in me? He doesn't ask us to go to EMP every day, pray, fast, and consecrate yourself to me. That is part of what he says. But his main message is, do you believe in me? Do you believe that I am God? You see, I feel like sometimes as we follow God, we try to keep God at a manageable level. We get to this place in our faith where we're comfortable with God. We're comfortable with how he works, and we're on cruise control. But I don't believe that that is what God has intended for our lives. But rather, God is a God that oftentimes breaks our reality of how he moves so that we may actually come closer to knowing who Jesus is. And I believe that everybody here in this room is here for a reason to listen to this message. I believe that God is even asking you, are you comfortable with me? Are you comfortable with the way that I work? Are you comfortable with that? Or do you want to seek me? Or do you want to know that I am God? I believe that here God is asking you guys a question. Will you believe that God will do something not familiar, but something new? As we have Pastor Andrew come up and lead us in a song, I want to really encourage us to pray before the Lord and really ask him, God, I don't want to be somebody that doesn't believe in you, because What's scary is as we walk with Jesus, we can walk with Jesus to a place where we don't believe God for miracles anymore. But rather, we stick with what is familiar. So as Pastor Andrew plays the song for us, let's take this time to really pray before the Lord and ask Him. And I encourage you to pray this prayer. It's going to be powerful. Is pray to the Lord, God, help me to believe in You. Put me in situations where it tests my faith, where my faith is shaken, where it's not comfortable anymore, where it's not familiar. I encourage you right now to pray that prayer, and I guarantee God will answer, and it's going to rock your life. So let's take this time to pray. Let's take this time to pray for those in our community that are going through cancer and chemo and radiation. Let's really pray for these people as if, and let's believe that God is a God that could heal. That we're not just lifting up empty prayers, not just throwing them up in the sky, just hoping that God would hear them. But let's pray as if, God, our prayers, we believe that our prayers, when we pray them, you answer them. So let's take this time to pray for those in our community. Let's take this time to pray. God, we just pray and we lift up, Lord. We pray, God, that you just heal that. God, we believe that you're the God of miracles, Lord. That you're not, God, we're not just praying empty prayers. We pray, Jesus, that you would address every single person on this list, God. And that, God, that you do a healing work, God, in every single one of them. We pray complete healing and no cancer. That, God, that you'd be with them in the midst of this, God, in the midst of the struggle. That, God, you're with them and you'll never leave. Next, let's pray for those who are experiencing illness at the same time need salvation. And let's really feel the heart of our fellow brothers and sisters who are praying for their family members, who are praying for the ones that they love to really know God, to really experience Jesus, and ultimately have eternal life. Let's feel that burden as we pray. Let's take this time to do that.
God, we just pray.
Next, let's pray for those who are experiencing infirmities. Let's pray with that same heart that, God, we believe that the prayers that we pray make a difference. Let's pray for the people on this list.
God, we just pray, Lord, for those who are experiencing infirmities, God, that we pray that, God, in the midst of these infirmities, that, God, that your heart would be with them, God, that your comfort, your Holy Spirit would be ministering, Lord.
Next, let's pray for those in our community that need jobs. And I really encourage you guys. I realize that sometimes there's a tendency to just go through these prayers. But really, let's pray really from our hearts. Let's believe in our prayers. Let's not just be passive. Oh, we go through these prayers every day. But let's believe that the prayers that we pray, there's power in them because we are sons and daughters of God, because we have a relationship with our Father. So let's pray for these people in our community that need jobs, that need provision. Let's do this. Next, let's pray for our mission focus is China, or the SP Beijing with PA Hyunsu. SP Shanghai with P. Ricky, the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, and all the other local churches that are working there. Let's pray that God would really break through in the nation of China. That God would really, that we believe that China is going to bring worldwide revival, and we're investing into His purposes and His kingdom by praying for our brothers and sisters in China. So let's take this time to invest and partner with God with what He's doing. Let's pray. Next, let's take this time to pray for our board. Let's pray for everybody that's on the board. And let's take this time to really bless them. These individuals, they sacrifice so much. They give so much for the sake of this church. So the least that we could do is pray for them. Pray for their families. Bless their families. Pray that they'd be more intimate with God, more filled with wisdom. Let's take this time to pray and bless the board. Next, if we could pray for the fellowships that are going on. Yahweh Summer Fun is starting off, and really the vision of that is to kickstart a community for young single people to really find a place in this church and to really find community. Let's pray for the men's ministry, that really out of that ministry may come men of God who are so rooted in their faith. And let's pray for the women's ministry, that the women that come out of that would be women of God who are so secure in who they are in Him. Let's take this time to pray, and let's not lose that fervor in prayer. Let's keep praying. God, we just pray, Lord, for the young adults ministry, the Yahweh God, through this summer, God, that there may be, you may birth, God, a community, and maybe prayers, God, prayer requests that people have been praying for a while now to find community or to find a friend, God, or to find a place here. God, we pray for a men's ministry, that God, out of men's ministry, that you would break, you would bring and raise up men of God so rooted in who they are. God, we pray for women's ministry, that God, that you may raise a woman so captivated in the image of them, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, God, so in the image of you, Lord.
Next, let's pray for the SP 2.0. It's building and resources, the benefactors that would invest into it, the vision fund. Let's pray and believe that this is not just a plan or something we put up on the screen to pray for, but that God would really answer this prayer request, that there'll be a 2.0. So let's take this time to pray for that. God, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would really, God, through this, that you would really provide a SP 2.0. We take that prophetic word, and God, we pray for it. We pray for the fulfillment of the building. We pray for the fulfillment of resources, benefactors, visions, God, vision fund. Invest into this and actually believe, God, and actually believe in SP2. We pray for that it's not just a thing, but we Lastly, let's pray for the Kyoto mission trip that is happening as we're praying right now. Our fellow brothers and sisters are out in Japan right now doing missions, doing kingdom work, and let's pray and let's be their prayer support. Let's be fighting on their behalf, that as they're encountering spiritual warfare, because we know the enemy's not just going to let them do what they want. As they're doing the kingdom work, let's pray and let's fight on their behalf. Let's intercede for them. So let's take this time to pray for God to really be moving in the Kyoto mission trip and for them to bring testimonies back. Let's take this time to pray. Yeah, let me just close this time in prayer. God, I thank you so much just for everything that you did, God, everything that you're doing. We pray and we believe that, God, that you're a God who does new things, and we don't want to stick to what is familiar, but God, we want to believe in you. Whatever you say is what happens, God. Whatever you say is what will pass. And we say yes and amen to whatever you say, God. So I pray that, God, as we continue to have this time of prayer, that you'd speak to every individual, God, every person who's listening in right now, that, God, that you'd speak to them. So we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, have a great rest of the time of prayer.